Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Good to see you're still alive. I think I like you.
Some of the new stuff from the mighty Tower of Power on the soul side of town. Check it out, towerofpower.com. Speaking of a Tower of Power, let's take it to the Ukraine and bring him my Tower of Power when it comes to up-and-coming trainers. He is going to be well-known in 15 or 20 years from now as one of the guys that changed boxing. Why do I say that? Because he's my guy, Primetime Eddie Croft. What's up, Primetime?
What's happening, Pedro? How you doing, man?
How's life treating you?
Life is treating me very well. I'm back in Europe. It's crazy, you know, how I'm getting a chance to fly around the world. And, you know, I've been here for about a little over a month. I spent 3 weeks in the Bavarian forest in Germany. And then we got in here last night back into Kiev. And then we'll go back to Germany in a month.
You know, what's funny is that a friend of ours, and I won't mention his name, but he said to me this morning, is he making money? Is he making money? I mean, money, I mean, everybody's got to make money. I understand that. But, you know, you get the chance to spend time in other people's cultures and other parts of the world for extended periods of time. Some of those TV gigs I did, I took less money in order to stay more time there. You know what I'm trying to say there, Eddie?
Yeah, exactly. And look, I'll be completely honest. I'm not making a lot of money right now. I am making money, but I'm not making Freddie Roach money. But the whole thing is, you know, once Evgeny, you know, he's fighting Truax, Caleb Truax on the 15th mm-hmm. of October. Mm-hmm. And he wins that, you know, once we kick the crap out of him, then, you know, he'll be the number one contender. So he will have a shot at either Plant or Canelo, which, you know, right now it's most likely going to be Canelo. And, you know, in a perfect world, and what we're hoping for is that Canelo doesn't vacate and look for a bigger fight. He said he wanted to fight in his hometown. You know, he hasn't done that, fought in Guadalajara for a long time. And, you know, none of the big names are going to go there and fight him. So, you know, I'm hoping that he'll go, hey, man, we'll take a mandatory and we'll do it in Guadalajara. And, you know, we'll be more than happy to go and fight him there.
Okay, I don't pronounce your fighter's name as well as you do. Can you pronounce it for me?
Yes, his name is Evgeny Shevchenko.
Can we cut that short to something like, I mean, cause, you know, a lot of these names, what'd you say? Yeah, can we cut it short to maybe the Chev? Anyway, but the bottom line is, he's a good fighter. He's undefeated now. 15 fights?
Yep.
15 fights, okay? And you've got him taking on Caleb Truax. This is a crossroads fight for both guys, without a doubt. I mean, the winner steps up, the loser steps back, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you what. It's more of a crossroads fight for Truax since, one, he's a former champ. Two, he just lost in a title eliminator against Caleb Plant. And this is, you know, Evgeny's first title. Well, the first one that's actually going to go off. This is like the third time, you know, that we've been, you know, in line for this fight. But, you know, I there's nothing that Truax can do better than Evgeny. Okay. Right. So I'm not. You know, yes, you're always concerned because it's boxing and, you know, strange things happen. The person that is supposed to win doesn't always win, but they usually do. So, you know, I'm real confident in Evgeny's skill set that he's going to, you know, really look dominant and, you know, we're going to be next in line, hopefully, to fight Canelo. I will be screaming it from the mountaintops, though.
Okay, and I'll let you scream it on this show. Now, let's talk just for a minute about the Jake Paul and the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey boxing. Jake Paul did 11,000. No, he did. He sold 14,000 seats a couple of weeks ago, and he did a couple of million buys on pay per view. I don't think he's the greatest fighter in the world. I don't think he's ever going to be world champion, anything like that. But he's getting people to look at boxing that normally wouldn't look at boxing. Is that good or is that bad?
You know what? I don't necessarily think it's good or bad. It's good for him, obviously. I don't think it has any bearing on on the sport that we love and the sport that we grew up watching. It is actually indicative of what boxing, you know, and you know, it's always been this way, right? They've always had, you know, okay, you know, we have like a celebrity fights or
when
Ali, you know, fought the Japanese wrestler and the dude fell on the ground and kicked him in the shin a bunch of times.
No,
I mean, they always had, you know, they've always done stuff like this. And so to me, it really shows boxers that if you can market yourself, then you can make money. Whether or not you know you're good and you deserve, like it doesn't matter what you know the boxing pundits or other fighters think you should get. It doesn't matter if you can put butts in the seat and get eyes on the screen, then you deserve that money. So boxers have to figure out a way to market themselves.
Okay, question: is Holyfield versus Vitor Belfort as low as boxing can go?
You know what? I actually wrote this to somebody on Facebook today. Yeah, you know what? It was really, it's sad to see. But at the same time, he got paid $1 million, right? So yes. Okay, let's say taxes and, dude, he's not paying, you know, whoever trained him for this fight for like 2 or 3 weeks is not getting, you know, they're not getting 10%.
I didn't see Don Turner in the corner. Is Don Turner dead? Right. You know who Don Turner was?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
That I don't know. You know what? I saw him. When did I see him? Like maybe 2012 was the last time I saw him. But yeah, I don't know.
You know, I had him on the show one time, Eddie, and he had beaten prostate cancer, and I guess he didn't want nobody to know about it. So I said to him, what's it like to beat prostate cancer?
Oh.
And the guy went really quiet on me, man. I said to myself, wrong question. Next one. Yeah, bottom line is Don was a good guy. Don trained Holmes. Don trained a lot of good guys, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and so you know, I mean, look, that's what I'm working to be. That's, you know, I'm aspiring to be a trainer like that.
Well, you know, I got to hang out with guys like Angelo Dundee and his wife and their great Eddie Futch used to call me son. You know, so I got to hang around with some pretty knowledgeable trainers and this and that, and got to watch these guys work. And Emmanuel Stewart, of course, I was the Goldfather's stepson. So I got to be around some pretty brilliant guys, and they all made mistakes. Somebody said to me, "You know, Emmanuel Stewart, did he have a perfect career?" I said, "No, he probably blew the first Tommy Hearns Ray Leonard fight by bringing Tommy in 145.3 pounds. He shrunk him down in weight too much, and of course, then he sent Hearns, the killer, the Motor City hitman, sent him out there to box Ray Leonard, and he boxed Ray for five rounds till Ray cracked him in the body and cracked a rib." But he went out there and tried to be the hitman, like he did with Duran, like he did with Cuevas and guys like that. I think he might have posed more of a threat to Ray Leonard, and he might be the greatest welterweight of all time had Emmanuel and Tommy not done that. Can you see any validity in what I'm saying?
I was just going to say, I don't know if I completely agree with that, Pedro. The thing that I remember, especially, you know, as a kid, you know, I'm being a big Sugar Ray fan, and I was worried about that too after seeing Hearns, you know, just starch Cuevas like that. Now remember, I'm 11 years old, and I don't, you know, I wasn't as well versed in boxing as I am now, but I do remember him just having a, you know, like a laser sharp jab early in the fight, and Leonard had a really hard time with it. And he started getting caught with right hands at, you know, like, because he just couldn't deal with that jab. So the right hand started getting through. But the thing about Leonard is, one, he could take a shot, and two, the man was mean. So, you know, when he got in close enough and he, you know, started landing some shots, yeah, he started hurting Hearns. And that is when Hearns kind of, you know, got on his bike a little more. You know, the first time he kind of got wobbled. Then he started boxing him a little bit more. And then he, you know, he kind of regained momentum in that fight.
Okay, but Eddie, when you come to the dance, you bring what brought you to the dance. Knocking people out was what brought Tommy Hearns to the dance, and he's trying to outbox the best boxer in the world.
Well, it wasn't only because that was a game plan, or that's what Emmanuel Stewart told him to do. It's because, you know what, he couldn't consistently land that hard right hand on Leonard. So come on, Pedro. You know that when you're boxing and you're moving and you're shooting, you're sticking that jab, and the old saying is, you don't look for the knockout, you let the knockout come, right? So the thing is, I felt like if he could have got Leonard out of there, he would have. You know, if he felt like there was a time that he could have stepped on the gas or stayed in front of him, then he would have. But I just think that the time that Leonard was hitting him, he just knew, you know what, he's not ready yet. I need to soften him up a little bit more. And it just, he could never do it. He could never get Leonard, you know, in the right position. That's my opinion.
Okay, second time around, he knocks Ray down twice and gets a draw.
And he won that fight.
Oh!
And he won that fight. And the thing, here's the thing. So you also have to remember, back then, right about 2-3 months before, they were talking about, like, not only rounds that have knockdowns being 10-8 rounds, but rounds that where you're totally dominant and you're hurting guys. Mm-hmm. They were scoring those. So there was a big emphasis on that. So remember, Leonard had Hearns hurt a few times, and there was one round where, you know, Hearns was flopping around the ring and he's grabbing and holding on for dear life, and they called that a 10-8 round. So you know, because of that, you can see why they scored it a draw. But, you know, really, Hearns won that fight.
You know, I trained with Ray in West Palm Beach for like 17 days for that fight. We ran together and did all kinds of crazy stuff down there in West Palm Beach. And I said to myself, this is an incredibly well-toned athlete. I mean, he seemed to be clicking on every cylinder, no doubt about that. But when he got into that fight with Tommy, and then he didn't tell me that day, but Ray told me about a year and a half later, or 2 years later, I think we were in Mexico City, and he said to me, he goes, you know, I lost that fight with Tommy. Like the second, and he admits it without a doubt, you know, because he and Tommy, we're all in the same room, okay?
Yeah.
And Tommy's about to walk over to us, and I said, hey, Ray, what do you think of Tommy? He goes, Tommy beat me the second time. You know, something like real low. Tommy beat me the second time. Anyway, stick around. Eddie Croft is our guest. Of course, after the break, we'll talk to him about Terrence Crawford taking on Sean Porter. And, of course, the fact that MMA and boxing are coming to a head as far as the clashes are concerned. Tito Ortiz got destroyed last night by Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva, of course, the same guy that destroyed Julio Cesar Chavez about a month ago, Junior. At the end of the day, Anderson can still fight at 43, I guess. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More with B Street Boxing's Eddie Croft after the break. Good. Most of them got girls at home.
Oh, they ought to think before they roam. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Tower of Power has a new lead singer. I kid you not, it's like the 19th or the 20th or the 21st, I kid you not. They've had like 19 albums in like 50 years, right? They've had like 25 lead singers, I kid you not. But there's a new guy on lead. I have yet to see him. Of course, Tower of Power is still rocking at towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the WBC TV is welcome to you on Veev TV. Of course, the hot and happening new network. On the line from the Ukraine is the trainer extraordinaire. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Eddie Croft. Eddie Croft's going to take on Caleb Truex. And what does Caleb bring to the dance?
You know, he's a tough guy. He's rough and tumble. you know, he'll come forward and put a lot of pressure on you. And he's got a decent jab, you know, a decent power, but that's about it.
So we're gonna we decided we're gonna nickname your guy the Shiv. I gotta get his approval on that first, so okay.
Yeah, he's not gonna like that, but that's okay.
No, I mean, but it's close. I mean, Evan and Evgeny Shiv and Shiv.
It's very simple, Evgeny. Try it, Pedro.
Evgeny. Oh, Daddy's giving me English lessons on the air. Okay, Eddie, first time ever. Go on.
Evgeny Shevchenko.
Evgeny Shevchenko. Okay, we got that down.
There 50 you go.
Now he fights out of Germany. You told me he's got a contract where his promoters or his managers pay him a yearly salary. Is that correct?
They pay him monthly. Yeah, they pay him. Yeah, they pay him every month. But yeah, it's a yearly salary. Yes.
So that sounds like a pretty good deal for a fighter, because most fighters don't have that type of privilege.
You know what? It's actually how they do it over here in Germany. And I first found that out when I trained Melissa McMorrow, and when she won the world title over here. We came over here and we, you know, snatched it away from a German girl. But like they had a gym, and there's apartments around the gym, and these fighters could live in the apartments for free, and they all got paid like monthly salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the only time that they ever got away from that, let's say, you know, if they ever got to be, you know, a world title or close to, you know, a number one contender, and a fight went to a purse bid, and the other, you know, the other side won the purse bid. So what would happen is they would kind of like just tabulate all the money they spent on you for however many years. And then if, you know, once the other promoter that won the purse bid, they, you know, because they pay, they're not, the other promoter is not paying the fighter. They pay a promoter, you know, it's promoter to promoter. That's how it goes, you know. So the promoter pays you, you know, let's say a U.S. promoter will pay the German promoter. And if that money recoups, you know, all the money they, you know, spent on you in, you know, for the past however many years, then you will start seeing the money from those huge purses. If not, then they, you know, they keep on kind of, you know, keep getting it until they break even. Okay. And then, you know, and then you're making money at that point anyways. You don't have to get that money.
Eddie, let me switch gears here. You get a chance to watch Gabe Flores from Stockton, California the other night with,
you know,
Luis Lopez?
I missed it. And I missed the Valdez fight. I missed Gabe. I was really sad to hear about it. You know,
he got destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the other guy should have been arrested for domestic violence afterwards. I mean, it was that bad. And the fact that his father, you know, there's no meat. I have problems with guys, their father's a corner man or their trainer or their manager or the guy's in the corner. He's in the corner making the decisions, because the father let him go out for the 10th round. He had lost all 9 rounds, Eddie. There's no sense in sending a guy out for the 10th round. If he's lost all 9 rounds, he's got a busted up face.
Unless you're a puncher. Which he's not, but
even, you know, I think that you want to put that asterisk there. Unless he's a puncher, is the punishment, the residual effects a professional boxer suffer trying to hang around for that one punch, is it really worth it? Don't you think it's better to pack it in and admit defeat after 3 rounds than taking an ass kicking for 10? I mean, because those 7 rounds, the residual effects from those 7 rounds of being beaten on like a drum, sometimes you don't turn them back.
Well, after 3 rounds, it's still a little early. You still have a chance to turn the fight around. And look, Pedro, you know, we're fighters, man. We're not going to give up. Yes, it is up to the trainer to decide, you know what, is he going to be able to make it out of this? Is he going to be able to turn this around? And, you know, like, after 3 rounds, most trainers aren't going to do it unless the guy's, you know, like been down 2 or 3 times. Then they might stop it.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, right. No, I, you know what? I can't be completely accurate because I didn't see the fight. Okay. I've had everybody call me about it. We know the kid. He's been down to B Street about 10 times and sparred with my guys. And, I feel for him.
Good luck. His father should have never, ever, 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 ever put him out like that. I mean, that was absolutely one of the worst decisions made in a long, long time. And the residual effects he might not be able to overcome. Now, I got to ask.
Absolutely. That seems to be 100% what everybody's saying. Okay. So,
30. You know. All right. Terrence Crawford. 37 in zip, of course, the champion at 135, 140, 147. Going to take on Sean Porter. Sean Porter comes in at 31-1 with three draws. Anyway, one no contest, 17 wax. Does Porter have enough to beat Terrence Crawford?
I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't think that he's going to win. I think Crawford should win or will win. I think Crawford will win, but I think the fight's going to be good. I think it'll be an exciting fight, and I can't wait to see it.
The heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, is going to be in action in a few weeks with Deontay Wilder, the 2004 Olympic bronze medalist, of course, coming to us from that boxing hotbed that's not Mobile, Alabama. What can Deontay Wilder do the third time he couldn't do the first or the second time? Eddie, you're a trainer.
You know what? I don't know if he had enough time to really implement all this new stuff.
But he's got Malik Scott training him. Malik Scott took a dive against him in Puerto Rico.
That's what I'm saying. I still feel that he should have kept Breland. I mean, Breland is like one of the best amateurs that we'd ever had in this country.
He's a stone cold square. I mean, Mark doesn't swear. Mark's the only guy in the 84 team that never broke his annuities. Holyfield broke them. Meldrick Taylor broke them. Pernell Whitaker broke. Everybody broke their annuities except Mark Breland. So Mark's got like $100,000 a life coming in, $100,000 a year coming in, tax-free at the age of 50. But he's such a square to be accused of putting. I mean, Deontay Wilder accused him of putting tranquilizers in his ring water, in his water. Then he said he put Valiums in there or something like his Xanax or something like that. I mean, Breland should have sued him for libel.
I don't know if he would have won that case, but I do feel like he was painted, or by Wilder. I do feel like he was painting in an unfair light. I don't agree with what happened. And, but at the same time, I look at it like this. Even though, Breland was such a technician, Wilder never was.
Eddie wouldn't train. He wouldn't do bag work. He didn't want to jump rope.
He never improved. He never took the time to perfect the craft, right? Or to attempt to perfect the craft. The thing about him, he's got such a weapon that, we haven't really ever really seen a weapon like that. Like a right hand just that can start you at any moment. And even hard punchers, a guy like Sonny Liston, George Foreman. They're strong and heavy-handed dudes. But, no one's ever seen, a missile like that just come out of nowhere and just put your lights out like that. And the funny thing is, it's kind of a curse to him. It's a blessing and a curse. He just never learned, and he never kept trying to learn, right? So the thing I've watched with Malik in their training, he's trying to teach him to, a little rhythm and how to move and throw a better technique on his punches. But I don't even think Malik Scott really knows what he's doing as far as from the mitt drills I'm seeing. Yeah, some of them, some things are good, but it's hard to get exactly what they're trying to do if you don't see the whole thing. And for me, what I would try to do with Deontay Wilder is everything you can do to just keep yourself in position to throw that right hand, right? You just just a little adjustment of movement, distance, don't let Fury, come in and rush in and smother you. You got to just take one little angle and, you know, fire off that right hand. You got to keep, you got to kind of keep Fury at just not feeling so confident that he could just walk you down like that.
The other Caleb was the Caleb Plant, of course, coming to us from from Tennessee, I believe, but now he's training in Vegas. He's going to fight Canelo in November. Does he have a chance?
Yeah, he has a chance. I you know what? I don't think he's going to win. But he, I mean, he has a chance. The one thing I am concerned about. So, I've seen Plant. He looks great in the beginning of fights, and he's slick, and he's got good footwork early. But you can, like, later in the fights, guys are able to pressure him and get him against the ropes. And if that happens with Canelo, then it's gonna be bad news for him.
Okay, I got in some heat this week for saying that I thought that overall historically Sugar Ray Robinson is overrated. Now here's a guy that I met and I interviewed. I spent time around him in this net. But when I look at his old films, him fighting at welterweight, the only guy he fought was Tommy Lane. He beat him for the title. He defended against Kid Gavilan. Outside of that, the 43 guys he fought at welter were a bunch of stiffs. Okay, then he moved up to middleweight and got beat by guys like Carmen Basile. And Carmen told me, "Look, I'm just an onion farmer with two hands. I'm no great fighter. This guy can't be the greatest fighter of all time if I beat him." Is Ray Robinson overrated historically?
No.
No?
No.
You know,
no.
You know, he told me that. I said, what is the difference between you and Ray Leonard? He said, Ray is faster than me. He might hit a little harder. What does that mean? That Ray's a better fighter?
Look, Ray Leonard was great. So I don't, you know. Look, I look at Ray Robinson's. I mean, the thing is, he was well, you know, ahead of his time. And man, the guy was like, you know, damn near undefeated as a welterweight, right? He lost one fight, I think, as a welterweight. And how many fights did he have before he even got a title shot? Damn near 60 or something.
Yeah, but so, I'll agree with you on that one. I mean, he was good for boxing, but at the end of the day, I say to myself, you know, I think Marvin Hagler would have ran him out of the ring.
Possibly, you know. I mean, possible. I don't, you know what? Yeah, because again, you know, Ray Robinson's best weight really was welterweight,
mm-hmm.
Right? That was his best weight, and. Look, you know, the guy was like a middleweight champion for a long time. It's not like Ray Leonard moved up and beat Hagler and had a long career as a middleweight. He had, you know, just one good fight as a middleweight.
Okay, real quick. Eddie, I got to run. B Street Boxing. I was by there last night down there to get an Amici's Pizza. So I wish you the best. Come back to town. You got a big fight coming up. I wish you the very best luck with that, man. Anytime you need me, call me.
Thank you, Pedro. I'll talk to you soon.
The great Eddie Craw, folks. You can check him out at B Street Boxing. Of course, he's the trainer, the man that runs it. It's a nonprofit training organization, a gym down there in San Mateo, California. Once again, bstreetboxing.com and Eddie Craw. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.